This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Bobby Dooley is with us on the Phil Hendry Show, and I can only say to you, Bobby, and thank you for joining us from your home at Western Estates in the beautiful West Hills of California. Thank God you're all right. I mean, I'm very grateful.
Thank you, Phil. You know something? All I could think of were my sons, were my husband, and that our entire country right now is in a state of war. We are under siege, Phil. And I thank God that I was able to come through it.
And I know a lot of you are listening right now. You don't know what we're talking about, but I've known Bobby for a number of years. All I know is what I heard from you and what I heard from Steve. And Steve Dooley, Steve, is that you? I just know what you told me, that Bobby, and I'm not going to tell the audience, because I want you to tell everybody in your words what happened today. Was it today?
It was late yesterday afternoon.
Yesterday afternoon. Did the police take a report?
Yes. I'm still shaking a little bit, Phil, but basically what happened was Janice and Ray Greeley had purchased a gun. Now, I'm the president of our homeowners association. Janice had come over for a coffee and had let it slip in kind of a condescending way, as a matter of fact, in a manner that angered me. She said, by the way, Ray and I have purchased a gun. And I was humiliated by that.
Why were you humiliated?
I'm the president of the Homeowners Association. If anyone gets a gun first in our neighborhood, it's me. And for her to brazenly, boldly, and rudely go out and buy a gun before me shocked me. I was really taken aback. I remember thinking, am I here? Is this? I felt dizzy, like I wanted to faint.
All right. So let's cut now to yesterday.
Well, last week I told Steve to go get a gun. We found out that the Greeleys had a .22. I said, go get a shotgun, get a 12-gauge.
I went over to Hogan's.
He went over to Hogan's Guns and Jewelry, which is right over here in the valley. And he got a used 12-gauge. And, Phil, I'm going to tell you this. I never thought in my wildest dreams when I sent my beautiful husband up.
All right, I know you had a very emotional day yesterday, so take it as slow as you can.
Forgive me. I'm so sorry. I've had a double shock. Janice and Ray getting their gun first, and now what happened yesterday. And
I understand that. Go ahead.
I never thought when I sent my husband out to buy a 12-gauge shotgun that I would have to use it within days of his buying it.
Now, what Bobby is describing, for as far as I can understand, you went through yesterday what I hope no homeowner ever has to go through, no person has to go through. And what Steve tells me was a potential assault, Steve? A rape?
That's what I...
Go ahead and tell us a story. And you'll be happy. It has a happy ending?
It does, Phil. Thank God for what I learned from the NRA and from other associated gun organizations.
All right, tell us your story.
I have to take a deep breath. I was in the kitchen. I was making a batch of oatmeal cookies for our youngest boy, Seth. He is doing a Colorado River trip, and every kid had to bring some food, so I was doing some oatmeal cookies. I thought I saw something move out by our cabana, which is just off the back edge of our property near our swimming pool. It's near our diving board, or the built-in slide that we had put in. So the first thought, of course, naturally, is to go to the closet and to get the shotgun. I forgot where the shells were, and I fumbled with it. I felt so stupid, but I finally got a couple of shells into the chamber. I went outside to the garage, and I saw what I'm pretty sure was a man. Now, you have to understand, Phil, you're not a woman. For a woman to be alone in her home and to see a strange man on the property, it is absolutely, I mean, I almost just fainted. I went into the garage, and I began sawing the...
Take your time.
I began sawing the barrels of the gun off.
And you're sawing off the barrels of the shotgun.
Yes.
Man.
Well, what What did you think I'd do?
Well, what's wrong with just the shotgun?
No,
you gotta have the barrel sawed off.
No, you have to saw the barrels off. That's where you get a lot more. If I'm alone in my home and there's a man out there, I want a nice, wide spray for that buckshot. That's what you do, and I want to tell every woman out there, if you have a shotgun, you be sure you saw that barrel off.
Except it's illegal.
Technically
not illegal. I know people are different.
No, that's illegal. A cop finds a sawed-off shotgun in your house, he's going to confiscate that.
My wife was raped.
So can I finish my story? Because I was almost raped. And I don't think you have any call.
I'm sorry. Forgive me. Let me give our phone number out here, though, if I could. We're in the middle of a story. Bobby Dooley was attacked at her home yesterday in Western Estates, and this is a secure neighborhood.
Yes, that is the part.
I don't know if it's secure.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. I'm pretty sure you can't saw off the barrel of a shotgun, but go ahead.
Well, I don't know. Are we going to argue about...
No, go ahead. I don't want to argue about it.
I came out of the garage with the shotgun. I saw a flash of white... and then white and blue through the window of the cabana. That's when I drew down on my target. I, at that point, expelled one shot, one shell from the shotgun. It took out the whole back window to our cabana. And I did hear at that time the sound of a man who sounded as if he'd been hit.
So you hit him?
Yes, I did.
You hit a man?
Yes.
Steve, was your wife almost raped?
I believe she was almost raped.
You say you just saw a white shirt in a window and you...
Oh, I fired, yes. I mean, he was carrying something long and thin. I didn't know what it was. And I think probably any woman who's in a similar position, if you see a man holding something long and straight, you have to assume rape.
Well, you don't know what he was holding. What? Who did you shoot?
My wife was almost raped in our home.
No, wait, hold on for a second. Just hold on for a minute, okay? You guys...
It could have been a sexual torture device. I don't...
No, hold on. You said you saw the flash of a white shirt?
Yes.
And then you fired?
Yes. And, Phil, I'd like you to just calm down, because I could have been killed. Now, Ronnie Daytona from our security gate came up. They did identify the individual as an employee for our pool servicing company. And I said, that's interesting. Okay, right there, that's interesting. What's he doing here? Because today is Monday, and he's supposed to come on Tuesdays. And Ronnie said, no, they come on Monday. And I said, that is interesting. Okay, that was something I didn't know. But for a fleeting 5 minutes, Phil, my life was in serious danger.
Well, what you're telling me, though, is that you shot the guy who comes to service your pool.
I have the 911 tape, if you want it.
We got 911, Phil, so I wouldn't be talking unless you got the facts.
All right, I'd like to hear the 911 tape. If you've got it, I'd like to hear it. I don't know where it is. That okay, Chris, you have that in there? This is the 911 tape, from what I understand, from yesterday. Go ahead and roll that.
911. Hello?
I just shot someone on my residence.
Sir.
Yes, I'm at. Oh my God. And that's it. That's all there is.
That doesn't prove anything.
I'm going to be right.
Phil, if there's one thing that I have learned from the NRA and from other organizations, it's that you shoot first and you ask questions later. And I'm sure you heard...
I don't know that that is any kind of safe advice on gun use, okay? All I know is you fired a sawed-off shotgun through the back window of your cabana and filled your... Is the man okay?
Which man are you talking about?
The man that you shot.
Yes.
He got buckshot, Phil. He took it out of his butt.
There were buckshot pellets in his posterior. Phil, Angie Dickinson, who played policewoman, a woman who could run in slingbacks with a shoulder bag and a gun. Shoot first. Now, this is a woman I think that we all know and
buckshot his ass.
And can appreciate.
He got shot in the ass.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Well, I don't know that firing blindly and
one pellet went to the pool boy's penis.
one of the pellets did strike him in his genitals, but the fact is...
My wife's safe.
Well, you didn't describe any rape to me. You described to me a guy who came to service your pool getting a shotgun blast in the rear end through the back... where was he?
He was out near the pool equipment.
Well, that's what he would be doing. He'd be at the pool equipment.
I don't understand. I was brought on your program to talk about how I was almost attacked.
You shot blindly with a sawed-off shotgun.
This, Phil, understand our country is under attack. We cannot take chances. We cannot take chances with the lives of ourselves, our children, or our husbands. Now, you may think that we're in some kind of a game.
Bobby, I don't...
No, let me finish. I've heard you. Now, you listen to me. You may think this is some kind of a game. Our country has been attacked. And every woman out there and every man who owns a gun should be highly suspicious. I was under incredible pressure. Our Faultacular is coming up in a week, which, as you know, is a prime fashion show.
I understand that.
Then don't you give me this stuff about how I was irresponsible.
My wife could have been raped. That pool boy could have been laying my wife.
The pool boy. I'm just saying you have to be careful with guns.
And we were careful. Thank God I did shoot. Or whatever that thing was that he was holding. Steve, what was it?
That's what he used to skim the pool.
It's a pool skimmer. It's a big, long thing that they...
Well, wouldn't I look foolish with that going up me?
Oh, God. Hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. I was under the understanding, I thought she was in danger. Turns out she shot with a shotgun the guy that came to service her swimming pool. And I'm told by her husband that she was almost raped. Just because the guy had something long and thin in his hand, it was the thing they used to clean the pool with. Why do I let people yell at me? I know that I'm right here. 1-800-449-8686.
We are suing the pool company, Phil, for emotional distress.
Well, how can you sue the pool company?
Why are they there? Why are they in the backyard?
Why are they in the backyard to service your pool?
They're supposed to be there. I know they're supposed to be there on Monday, but I didn't know that then.
Oh, well. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Bobby Dooley from Western Estates Homeowners Association. I want to listen to this 911 tape one more time, Bobby. You say a man came into your backyard and you shot him. And
I was in fear for my life.
You've been raped.
I've heard that word rape a little too much, okay? There was nothing about what happened.
Well, what about what he was holding in his hand?
That's what you used to skim a pool with. Now, let me hear this 911 tape one more time. Can we roll it, please?
No one.
I just shot a man.
That's all we got. I hear a gunshot.
That was me.
Shooting the man.
Yes. As I was pulling the trigger, all I could think of was that SOB in my cabana was not going to spread. You know something? He wasn't going to spread me like cream cheese on a hot day.
That's right.
1-800-449-8686. I don't know who to go to here first. Let me try Alicia. Go ahead, Alicia. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, this lady, she is totally wacko. Mm-hmm. I do not get where she's coming from
mm-hmm.
at all.
Mm-hmm.
I own a gun, and I think I'm a little bit more responsible. She is the kind of person that gives gun owners a bad name.
Did you hear the 911 tape I just played?
Yes, I heard the 911 tape. Why didn't you call 911 as soon as you saw the man?
Yeah, you called 911 and then shot him and then came back on the phone.
Only an idiot would take the time to go to your garage, saw off the barrel of the shotgun, go outside and then call 911? Why didn't you go up in your room with your gun, take your kid in there, shut the door, call 911, and let them come
well,
and take care of?
What kind of a woman would I be then? Our men are at risk in Afghanistan.
And what's the point?
What's the point? He wasn't going to spread me like cream cheese on a hot day. Maybe you. Maybe other women, not me.
You are...
What do you mean? This is the pool man.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, Alicia, I'm sorry. I'm just...
My wife's going to get... Nobody spreads cream cheese on my wife but me.
Oh, clean up your act.
It could have been your husband coming home. It could have been a neighbor in there. You could have shot your kid.
Alicia, my husband doesn't come home by way of the back fence.
No, but what if your son was outside and wanted to get something out of the cabana?
I don't dress my sons in white and blue service shirts.
All right, then you knew it was a white and blue service shirt. It could have been the water guy. It could have been the gas guy reading the meter, for God's sake.
But it wasn't.
No, it was the pool man servicing your pool equipment.
You know, when I first heard that call, I thought it was I thought it was a prank phone call, Phil, that you put on.
Listen. 911.
That's it? That's the 911 call?
Yes. What more do you need?
I hear you call 911, then go outside with your shotgun, put a load of buckshot in a guy's ass, and come back to the phone.
You went looking for trouble.
No, I did
you
not.
You could have stayed in your house.
What makes you think I was looking for trouble?
You went outside and confronted him.
After sawing off the barrel in the garage.
I wanted more range.
All you had to do was stay in your house. The cops would have came and taken care of it.
You know something? I'm getting the feeling that neither one of you know a lot about guns. When you saw the barrel off of a shotgun, you can get some pretty decent kick. And let me tell you something. May God have mercy on the soul of any man that confronts me with a sawed-off shotgun.
I tell you what, you're the one that doesn't know about guns. I own a gun, I own two guns, and I am not stupid enough to go outside and confront someone that is, even if it was a robber, big
you
deal.
Wait for them to come in.
To
yeah,
outside.
You wait for them to come in the house, if anything.
He should know better than to think he was going to rape me.
It's the pool man, okay? He's holding the skimmer. What makes you think he was going to, Alicia, thank you for your call. What makes you think he was going to rape you? That's the whole part of this that I don't understand. Let me go over to Bobby. Bobby, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi there.
Yes, sir.
What's your name again? Is your name Bobby?
My name's Bobby, yes.
Bobby.
I'm Steve.
Well, I'm an ex-police officer. I was on the force for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yes, I'm right here. I'm listening.
I was on the force for 9 years. I now own a construction company, and I heard you relate this to the September 11th attack on 9/11.
I think that we're all a little bit on edge, and we need to be after September 11th, yes.
All right, I'm trying to be as rational about this as possible when I listen to you when you say that.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're relating knowledge of guns to you filling a guy's ass full of buckshot? Come on now.
I don't understand.
Oh, I was just telling you how crazy this is and what an imbecile
you
sound like.
I went into the garage and sawed off the barrel of that shotgun. And, Bobby, if you're an ex-police officer, you know exactly what that...
Let me ask you something. Bobby, you're an ex-cop? Ain't that illegal, sawed-off shotgun?
Yeah, that's what I told. That's what I told the man I talked to earlier.
I said
we all know this is illegal. That is common sense.
Well, like
Come on, anybody who owns a gun knows that you can't saw off a barrel.
Hey, Bobby, this is Steve. Is somebody going to spread my wife like cream cheese on a hot day? I'm supposed to worry about whether the barrel is illegal or not? Come on, get out of here.
All right,
what?
How is she going to spread your wife like cream cheese?
What? What'd you say?
How is the pool man going to spread your wife like cream cheese? What are you talking about, spreading cream cheese anyways? What the hell does that have to do with... It's the pool.
I am a proactive woman. I take control. Your wife.
Was this during the day? Bobby, answer me. Was this during the day?
Yes, it was during the day.
You could see the man.
No, I could not. That's the whole point.
And that's why you shouldn't have shot.
What was obstructing your view? What was obstructing
your view? The window. He was behind the cabana.
The cabana?
Yes.
All you heard a noise. You got your gun and you fired. I'm just trying to get this straight here.
Yes, that's what I did.
Oh boy.
It's totally responsible gun ownership.
Bull crap, man. That's like firing into a dark room, not even knowing what's there.
You tell me. You're too pussy to own a gun, Mr. Henry.
All right, so I don't own a gun.
Then you stick out of it.
Bobby.
All right, well, I got 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
I'm with Bobby and Steve Dooley from Western Estates Homeowners Association. Bobby, you shot your pool man by mistake using a sawed-off shotgun. How come the police haven't arrested you or questioned you?
So we live at Western Estates Homeowners Association, one of the most prominent Western Estates, one of the most prominent gated communities in America. Our security here is very good.
And how come the police have not been around to question you? You called 911. How come the police haven't been around to question you?
Our security's been able to take care of it, and it's one of the reasons why we pay people who live in a gated community. And
are you saying the security is keeping the police away?
Guardy said we're not home.
What's that, Steve?
Guardy said we're not home.
Security tells the cops that you're not home, so you could be arrested for assault. You realize that?
No, I'm sure, Phil, after we speak with the police, I'm going to talk to the police, but Steve and I have a weekend planned, and we won't be back until early next week.
And where are you going?
We're going over to Scottsdale. We're going to play golf with his brother.
You're going over to Scottsdale, Arizona?
Yeah.
Oh, so you just don't have time to talk to the cops right now?
Not right now, no, but we will speak with them when we get back. But it's one of the reasons money buys you a big house. It also keeps you out of the big house, as Steve likes to say.
Well, yeah, we got a lot of influence.
I had an idea that it might have been our pool boy. He's been doing a really bad job lately. But I don't think instinctively I shot him because of that.
You might have, though.
No, I don't think
you might have shot your pool boy because he's keeping your freaking pool dirty?
Subconscious.
It might have been subconscious.
Jesus! Sawed off the shotgun on purpose!
You know something, Phil? There's an old saying, don't eat with the big dogs, okay, if you can't stand the smell. Steve and I are gun owners. We own a gun. And let this go out to people far and wide, to friend and foe alike. The Dooleys own a gun. Okay? So,
look, don't be paranoid, man, to the point where you're shooting a pool boy is all I'm saying.
Oh, get off that way, pal. It's all over.
Yeah, the guy's still probably... When's it... Forget it. It's the next time the guy's going to be able to sit down. Carl, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey.
Yes.
How you doing? Well, from what I hear, we started off seeing somebody in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
We went into the closet, got a shotgun.
That's correct.
And we loaded it.
Yes,
then
sir.
We took it to the garage and sawed it off while it was loaded. Then we came back in and called 911 and went back out and shot somebody.
That is
I had
correct.
No idea who it was, and she said she was almost raped. And maybe in her mind she was almost raped, but nobody almost raped that woman.
Right.
She's a moron.
From what we know.
And, well, from what she's describing. Then she says that money can buy her out of anything because she lives in a gated community. Lady, I'm not impressed with you. I think you're an idiot. And
you know,
the police aren't gonna wait for you to come back. If they want to arrest you, they'll come get you. And I think they probably will. And that man's going to sue you, and you won't be living in a gated community anymore.
Now, wait a minute. We have a golf
weekend. That's really too bad.
We have a golf weekend planned in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Oh, that's really breaking somebody's heart. Your golf weekend is not near as important as what you did to that guy.
I think the police are going to want to talk to you, Bobby.
Well, they'll have to wait because we have reservations.
Oh, they will, huh? They'll have to wait. Your golf game is more important. I think when they want to talk to you, you're the one that's going to have to wait.
He could have raped me from...
So could anybody on the street, but nobody did, and nobody was.
What was he carrying that
long
pole?
You don't know that. You're just playing a game here.
Why was he carrying a long pole?
He was carrying a long pole because he was...
You're not a responsible gun owner because you went out and bought one and sawed it off. Doesn't make you anything except dumb.
He was carrying a very long...
We got it. It was the thing you skimmed the pool with.
How was my wife
if you could see what he was carrying, you could also see who it was carrying it, lady. You're full of baloney. You knew exactly who you shot.
I was afraid that I could have been taken anally.
Oh, stop it.
You're full of... Lady, you've got so much baloney. Probably it's been so long since anybody's had sex with you, you wouldn't know what it was like anyway. I can't believe that you're sitting on
and Carl,
public
you put
radio telling people that. you saw something in a man's hand that was that long, you also know, saw who the man was. You even said he had a service shirt on.
A blue and white service shirt.
You knew exactly who he was, and you shot him.
What am I...
You need to put the gun away and just lock yourself in a house someplace and pull the shades. If you're that afraid of life, you don't need to be out walking around loose. I'll tell you that. You need help.
Why did you shoot your pool man?
I don't think I consciously shot our pool man.
You said something about how his service sucked.
It has been bad, yes.
Maybe that's why.
Well, now looky here. First of all, a guy almost raped you. Now you shot him because the pool service has been lousy.
Isn't that wonderful? You can shoot
somebody. You know, you're going to go to jail.
Why don't you just fire him and hire somebody else?
I didn't think of that.
Yeah, I didn't think of that.
You didn't.
Didn't think of that. You're going to go to jail.
You thought about shooting him.
Yeah, you don't like guys. Some guys work so bad, you're going to shoot him. You might as well fire him first.
Listen to the 911 call.
Set that up. That 911 call was set up.
You think so, Carl?
It
sounds phony to me.
He went in the
too.
House and dialed that and went out and shot him so they could hear the gunshot go off. I can't believe the police haven't been out and hauled her to jail. I really can't.
Well, I know somebody in the sheriff's department.
That's not going to help you. You know somebody with the sheriff's department.
Oh, you know somebody in the sheriff's department so you can get away with murder. You're a moron, too.
Well, honey.
I don't really think that I'm stupid. That's number one.
Well, I'm sorry. The rest of the world certainly does. I don't think I'm by myself in my conviction of what you're saying.
I think there's a lot of people that think that you're dumb, Bobby.
I don't. I'm the president of our homeowners association.
Well, God help your homeowners association.
And I'm also the president of the parent-teacher organization.
Well, that's not a plus either. Anybody can be president of the homeowners association if you've got money, but you don't. You know, that doesn't make you smart. It doesn't make you responsible. It doesn't give you any common sense. I think you lack all of that.
Where's this pool boy that you shot?
Downstairs.
Where?
Downstairs.
What do you mean he's downstairs?
We locked him up so we would press charges.
You...
Oh, I'm very scared, Phil.
You locked him up so he won't press charges?
Don't you think you ought to take him to the hospital?
We pulled a buckshot out of his ass.
Oh, you did, huh?
Yes, sir.
Boy, wait. So now you're guilty of kidnapping.
Kidnapping,
also.
Assault, sawing off the shotgun, dumbing up a 911 call.
Guy's sitting on a pillow.
Yeah, well, he'll be sitting on gold when he's done with you.
That's right. Lawsuit time.
You know, I think you're both really cruel. Listen to this 911 tape.
I don't want to hear it. I've already heard it 3 times, and it doesn't impress
me. Sounds like baloney, yeah.
It's all baloney. You got him locked up down there. He didn't do anything. You shot him, and he's locked up, and he's being denied medical treatment. You're guilty of kidnapping, lady. That's felony. So it's trying attempted murder.
So let's go. Yeah. So let's go through the chronology again. You see someone in your backyard. You take the gun that your husband bought. You don't call the cops. You don't go out and say, "What are you doing in my yard?" You immediately go to the garage and saw the barrel off.
Oh, she loaded it first.
First, you loaded it.
Then she sawed the barrel off.
Right.
That's really now that's good gun ownership and responsibility right there. Always load your gun before you saw the barrel off.
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that? Freaking thing. Oh, man. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
This is the Phil Henry Show.
I don't know why we got in this conversation, but my credit, I virtually destroyed my credit by the time I was in my late 30s. And then I went to one of those credit repair services. And it was, I guess there are a bunch of lawyers. And what they do is they keep bombarding the reporting agencies with requests for a credit appraisal until the credit companies make enough mistakes with your credit where everything has dropped off, or they negotiate with them to drop things off. And my that's really how it works. There's like four major reporting. TRW, I don't know anymore which ones. Is it Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian? What happened to TRW? It's Experian, so they got eaten up. Okay. And who is this? Chris, you're at the 6.5? Really? Six more months and Chris is clean again, man. Is that a bankruptcy you had? It's really, just crap credit. Like 7 years, your life is completely garbage, yeah. So what they do is they keep, and there's so much information that these three main credit appraisal companies or reporting agencies, there's so much information that they handle. Billions and billions and billions of bits of information that they can't possibly get it all right. They can't. It's impossible. No, but no computer is that perfect. That's why you always regularly should check your credit. I got a thing I signed up for where they give me, like, every 3 months they show me my credit, just so I can get a good kind of, just a little snapshot, make sure that my rear end isn't back into hock again, because I'm going to tell you something, my life, I ran my credit right into the toilet. Now, I don't know whether this is a fair thing to say, but I'll say it, and I suppose you can tell me what you think. I don't know that your life has been lived in any normal sense unless you've butchered your credit beyond all recognition at least once in your life. I don't know if you've taken the appropriate chances with your life and with your money if you haven't at least once in your life butchered beyond all recognition your credit. And I'm talking about canceled cards. I'm talking about collection agencies like a hellhound on your trail. I'm talking about every nightmare, and I owed money to people. I can't even tell you, man. I was up to my ass with I don't know how many different cards. And yet, sitting across from me is my engineer, Craig Taylor, who has stellar 6-star credit. And why is that? Because he will soon be a husband, probably a father. Craig's going to be Richie Cunningham, you know. This dude is like Mr. Responsible. And everybody else that I work with here, I don't know about Janice. Janice, how's your credit been? Did you toilet it? You tanked it, didn't you? You're Canadian. Okay. So anyway, that means you tanked it early in your life? No, that means it was a very nice, responsible type thing. My old man was Canadian, and then he died. But anyway, no, he was. And the first thing he did when he moved to the States, and they moved to the States like in the late 40s, he went down to there used to be a Bank of Canada in downtown L.A., and he went down to the Bank of Canada and borrowed $500 and stuck it under his mattress for 90 days and then paid it all back. And that's how he established credit in the United States. And then he went back another time, and these Canadians went, "You're the same asshole that pulled that thing. Get out. We're not lending you any more money. Your credit's no good with us. Thank you." And then, of course, my father, he ran his money. You know, everybody, I had a great modeling for money. But I guess the point that I'm trying to make here is, don't you think that you have to sort of take some chances like that with your money? Now, my credit today is pretty damn good. Mine's good. I purchased a couple of homes. I lease a car. I lease a car. And the other car that I drive is a car that I own that I paid off. Not big on cars at our house. Not big on cars at all. It's just not a thing that I do. And everything that we've paid for the house is paid for in cash. And we're putting, you know, we've got a retirement fund that we've set up. And I'm trying to do, for the first time in my life, something quasi-responsible, saving some dough, you know. But I would never have gotten to this place in my life had I not just completely carved my credit a new one. Just absolutely was in hock. And I had no concept. And the lowest that I think I ever hit was probably somewhere in the neighborhood of the early 90s. Not too long ago, when I owed the IRS for 4 years, And I was living in Minneapolis at the time, and the next thing I heard, I was on the air at WCCO, and we were running a public service announcement that said, and if your credit sucks ass, come to downtown Minneapolis this weekend, where IRS agents will be on hand, and maybe, just maybe, we can get your life back straight. You know, some apocalyptic announcement like that. So I went down where these IRS agents were down there, and they did my taxes for 4 years, and they put me on a payment plan, and they said, now, Mr. Henry, you understand, you're on a payment plan now, right? If you ever, ever owe the government money again, you have got to pay it off then. No more payment plans. I said, yes, sir, I understand that, sir. All right, now get out of here and send in the next cheapskate. Okay. And that's the last that I ever owed the government, and I've paid him off every year, and I hired a good accountant who is very fast and loose with the books. I mean, I hired a good accountant who knows he's very smart. And as a result, with my income, the government sends me money every year. I don't know how this happens. Nah, I got to pay it. You know, whatever. I got to do what I got to do, okay? By the way, I wanted to also mention something to you guys, and I don't know why I want to mention this to you, but I'm just sharing things about my life. You know, my credit sucked. And one other thing about my life. I was in a play once. I was in a play. You know, play when you're on stage. And it was called Dial M for Murder. And I played, if you saw the movie, I played Tony Wendis. I think I played Tony Wendis. The Ray Milland character, or maybe I did. No. I played Mark Halliday, the Robert Cummings character. Anyway, I was in this play, Dial M for Murder, and it was at the Sierra Madre Playhouse up in Sierra Madre, California, in the late 80s. And this play was so rotten that they reviewed it the next day in the Pasadena Star News. They thought it was a comedy. And I remember when I was on stage and we're doing the play, the audience laughing. And I walked off and said, geez, well, I mean, at least they, you know, maybe they think it's a comedy. Let's just play it like a comedy. And the next day we went for the rehearsal and the director was there going, you see this? And she was holding up the review in the Pasadena Star News. This is what you should think of reviews. Rip! She dramatically ripped it in half. And I wanted to say, hey, look, I mean, take what you can get. I mean, the play blows so severely that they thought it was a comedy. Let them think it. Otherwise, they could have written, this thing sucked like beyond all recognition. The acting, everything, just horrific. They were laughing because the next night in our performance, I heard a guy snoring in the audience. Now, maybe that happens now during my show, but I don't have to hear it. I heard a guy halfway through the second act... And the audience just, you know, this cat's dead out of sleep. So I thought I'd share that with you. My credit was in the toilet once, and I was in a play that they thought was a comedy, and it was a drama called Dial M for Murder. Now where am I in my life? I don't know, but here I is, back from New York. By the way, we want to mention to you that Topps has trading cards out. They're called Enduring Freedom. You can get seven cards per pack. Plus one sticker. The series includes President Bush, Secretary of State Colin Powell, Attorney General John Ashcroft, New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, and card number 19 is Osama bin Laden. And kids are trading them on the playgrounds, and they are getting Roger Clemens for their Osama cards. So let me tell you, I'm joking. It's really great. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.